This episode is powered by the Do Stuff app. Do Stuff is the best resource for finding out what's going on in the Bay Area and beyond. Curated by locals for locals, the Do Stuff app is the mobile home of Do the Bay, the number one event site in the Bay.
Welcome back to the Noise Pop Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Spinelli, coming to you from Noise Pop Studios in San Francisco, California. Back in June of 2014, I was traveling in Brazil for the World Cup with my oldest childhood friend, Mike. We'd been in Brazil together before when we were younger, and now, with a taste for the finer things in life, we crushed through classic Brazilian recordings everywhere we went. Our favorite artist was Jorge Benjor, who's widely considered to be the godfather of MPB, which in English translates loosely into modern Brazilian popular music. And his 1971 album, Negro Lindo, was the go-to soundtrack to our trip. Our favorite song was hands down, Comanche. Maybe a month after we got home, Mike sent me an email with the subject line, Comanche. I opened it up, and the body of the email really had no additional words, but just a link to a song, and it was Fallen Up by the Black Eyed Peas. We both grew up with hip-hop in the late 90s, and before the Black Eyed Peas became this really massive pop sensation that they are today, frontman Will.i.am and company used to make culturally inspired hip-hop like Fallen Up. And when you've known someone for damn near 20 years, you don't have to say much to each other to get your point across. So when I clicked the link, it was pretty clear to me right away what Mike was trying to say, that Will.i.am had used the Jorge Benjor sample from Comanche throughout this, the opening track to the Black Eyed Peas' 1998 debut album, Behind the Front. It's instances like this one that illustrate to me the unique influence of Brazilian music that's in a lot of the tunes that we listen to today, no matter what the genre. In today's episode, we'll take you through some examples and talk to some special guests that'll help us try to get to the bottom of what it is exactly about the music and culture of Brazil that's made it a recurring element in the music that we listen to on the regular. Take the frequent Brazilian musings of electronic group Fiore Corporation. Fiore Corp is the production duo of Rob Garza and Eric Hilton that started in Washington, D.C. They've been incredibly prolific and have put out 9 studio albums almost over 20 years. Now, while their history began in the D.C. music scene, Garza's lived in San Francisco for the last 7 years, and he stopped by our studio to tell us about the Brazilian music that's influenced the group.
I remember the night in particular, a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to go see this house DJ, Todd Terry, who I know, and he's like, or we could go by this lounge, and they played like Brazilian jazz and dub and stuff like that. And they just opened. It was about a month old. And I walked in the door, and they're playing Águas de Março by Jobim and Elis Regina. É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho. É o resto de toco. And, you know, I fell in love with the place immediately. I met Eric, my partner, and he's like, he knew I was producing music. So he's like, we should put our equipment together and see if we can make some noise, you know. And the first day that we got together, we made 2 songs, and we realized that, you know, I had the potential to be a really prolific relationship.
The group's very formation was sparked around Brazilian music, and from their very beginnings, it's been at the core of Fiore Corporation's library. Here's Garza again.
Well, even on the first record, Sounds from the Thievery Hi-Fi, you had a song called Manha, which was Brazilian influenced, and there was another track called Scene at the Open Air Market, which was another bossa track. We had a lot of Brazilian records, and one of the things that I loved about Brazilian music and dub music in particular is that there's a very nice sense of space. there's a lot of room for sort of melodies and trippiness and the sort of atmosphere. And so I think, you know, a lot of things that we did kind of combine, you know, elements of that sense of space within the music.
Fever's most recent release is called Saudade, and it's their most Brazilian-centric album to date. The word saudade itself is an untranslatable Portuguese word that could best be described as a deeply rooted longing for someone or something.
Well, I do love that sense of saudade, that thing that just kind of, you know, is communicated through the music, and it's just beautiful but deep, melodic, the, you know, the sense of rhythm. I just felt like, I don't know, just something that just really captivated me from the beginning. You know, but that sense of bittersweet longing and the presence of absence and that sort of thing. It's just something that you could really feel within the music. And I think that for Thievery, if you listen to a lot of our music, there is sort of this melancholic kind of quality in it. It's not like all major chords kind of thing. And to me, the culture is just fascinating historically, and just how multicultural of a place it is, and just all these things kind of coming together. And you know, the music, I think, is just one of the best exportable things from Brazil, you know, and it's something that I've just never been able to shake once I fell in love with it.
Let's go back to hip-hop for a moment, where one example in particular always seems to pop up. Listen to this clip from Astru Gilberto's 1965 Verve Recordings classic, Berimbau. The title of that song refers to a berimbau, which is a single-string percussion instrument that's a staple in Afro-Brazilian capoeira dance circles. 40 years after Gilberto's version of Berimbau, Jurassic 5 producer and turntablist extraordinaire, Cut Chemist, took the elements of that song and made it central to his song, The Garden, the lead track from his solo debut, The Audience Is Listening. The Cut Chemist version layers even more musical elements on top of Gilberto's already jazzy Bossa Nova track. He expands the traditional Brazilian elements with the samba whistle and the small Brazilian ukulele-like guitar called a cavaquinho to create a version that's somehow more Brazilian than the original, and then through the use of drum machines and turntable scratches, more American too. The Astru Gilberto Berimbau track was later retooled by the Sergio Mendes Trio. And then New York rapper J-Live gave Mendes' version a spin on 2001's Don't Play. So with Berimbau, Astru Gilberto and Sergio Mendes were crucial to introducing a seminal Brazilian bossa nova track far outside of Brazil's borders. Oh, and Astru Gilberto, if you haven't already noticed, she's the singer for the most famous version of Girl from Ipanema. Along with Stan Getz, a saxophone player, they popularized one of the first Brazilian classics sung in English back in 1964. If you go to noisepop.com/podcast, we've linked a video on this episode's page of Gilberto and Getz performing The Girl from Ipanema on live TV. It's incredible. Go check it out. We've also linked the original version of Berimbau. On the more recent tip, there's been a wave of Brazilian music seeping into electronic dance music. Diplo famously gave EDM a shot in the arm by introducing the baile funk carioca music that's typical of the favelas or slums of Rio de Janeiro into electronic music. He got started on his 2004 album Florida which really sounds nothing like the anthemic dance floor music Diplo's become synonymous with today, with the track Percón, part of the bigger track, Diplo Rhythm, that features funky singer Panceros de Nagios. Diplo's exploration into the funky sound continued, and in 2005, he produced MIA's groundbreaking debut album, Aerolar. You might remember this track, Bucky Dun Gun. You hear that beat on Bucky Dun Gun? It's really just a chopped up version of Mango 2000 by OG funk karaoke crew Furacão 2000. Much like that Black Eyed Peas example earlier, before artists like Diplo and MIA became these massive pop and electronic music stars, their tunes were rooted in the culture of music from Brazil. Soon, that Brazilian sound that Diplo used to differentiate himself caught on to the number of DJs and producers, as the funky drum breaks found a more commonplace role in contemporary music. Diplo founded his label, Mad Decent, which helped popularize that same Brazilian funky sound around the world. Okay, so where does that leave rock in our conversation? For that, we dug into our own backyard with Oakland band Trails and Ways. Keith Brower Brown, of the Four Piece, was influenced by spending time in Fortaleza, in the northeast part of Brazil, and many of their songs are sung in Portuguese as well as English. Here's Brower Brown now.
I think there are a couple of pieces to what inspired me about Brazilian music. One was definitely the collective nature of musical experience there, and I grew up in Portland and had been in the Bay Area for almost half a decade at that point, and had really loved the scenes of house shows, of like ambience and punk bands in those cities. And coming down there, what I found was like this really incredible sort of communal experience of music around playing samba or pagode in the streets, and just like walking up to a bar where there are like 50 people all just belting at the top of their lungs, knowing the words to like obscure old Brazilian songs that I had never heard before, like this really refreshing antidote to the kind of dynamic of spectacle in a lot of rock music and a lot of kinds of music that I was used to from the States. And the part of Brazilian music that I feel familiar with of what's going on down there right now is mostly in like the rock and like indie rock, indie pop scene. And that, it seems to me like there's this two-way conversation that happens between Brazilian music and the rest of the world. And just like in the 60s, the Beatles records made it down to Brazil and influenced this whole generation, like Os Mutantes and Gilberto Gil, and, you know, inspired them to go on their own crazy experiments. I feel like that sort of moment of ears wide open listening is happening right now, where I met a lot of people who were really excited about garage rock and post-punk coming out of the US and out of Europe. And there's this collective breath being taken. It felt like, not to generalize too much, but it felt like a lot of bands, they were really excited about what was going on here, and that they were figuring out how to make music that drew inspiration from that, but was their own. And I don't see from my direct experience something that, you know, is exploding just yet, but it seems like a lot of wicks are getting lit down there, and something is going to come out of it, would be my guess. And you know, who knows how soon.
Trails and Ways have bossa nova sounds laden throughout their music, like Nunca, off of 2015's debut LP, Pathology.
That song is about trying to jump across the gap of what can't be translated when I was in Brazil, and about trying to express deep feelings across the gaps of language and of just experience and identity. And that the song itself, the form we chose for it, I feel like echoes that in a good way, or embodies that in a good way, where it plays loosely with some ideas that I was grasping at in Brazilian music, but really feels rooted in our own sort of like American indie rock, dream pop tradition. I think that part of it for me has a lot to do with the chords that are used in bossa and, to some extent, a lot of Brazilian popular music at large. There's a lot of use of seven chords that have this very open, often melancholy or just emotionally sort of like wide open feel to them that has this very like raw appeal to me. And those major and minor seven chords are a basis of a lot of the songs I write for Trails and Waves. A lot of the rhythms use forms of syncopation. What I sort of think of as a way of like leading, the rhythm works hand in hand with the chord movement in a way that is really compelling. And I definitely do feel different when I sing in Portuguese or when I talk in Portuguese than in English. And I think it's really interesting when I was down in Brazil in December when we were playing shows down there. Something I heard from a lot of Brazilian musicians who we met was that they felt like Portuguese was a really hard music to do rock music in or pop music in, and that it felt really uncomfortable for them to do it. And most of them, to their credit, still tried, but they still preferred English and felt like English was a language that sounded better for rock. And that just kind of blew my mind, because I feel like so many people in the U.S. talk about Portuguese as this inherently musical language, as this language that just brings music to life and has just a musical tonality to it. And what I think the experience of those musicians, the Brazilian musicians, was that if you're so familiar with a language that you know all the different connotations and the sort of corniness of words, then it becomes really hard to use them, and rhymes feel too obvious, and there's just sort of hang-ups that you can have about using your own language because you feel like too aware and you can overthink. There's a kind of pureness and I guess fearlessness that comes out of that I like when I sing in Portuguese, or even when I just try and speak in it.
Okay, we've taken you through a journey of Brazilian music and a number of instances when it's popped up in music by notable independent and major artists. And now, I must confess, I'm a Brazilian. I left when I was 6, spent the last 26 years of my life in California, and go back to visit Brazil every year, including the World Cup in that story at the top. But there was a time when I was losing touch with the vibrance, the soul, and the emotion of my country's music. It wasn't until in 2004 when I heard Seu Jorge's Life Aquatic studio sessions album of David Bowie covers in Portuguese, that the feeling of the Brazilian people and their uniquely vibrant culture came rushing through me again.
Nem tem forças pra obedecer. Quantos sonhos já destruí. E deixei escapar.
And when I heard the news of David Bowie's passing this month, this music, that project, and Seu Jorge's voice singing David Bowie was the first thing that came to mind. How even though Brazilians have been major sources of influence for the artists that we listen to today, it's definitely a two-way street. And with that, we'll leave you with Seu Jorge's Portuguese version of David Bowie's Life on Mars. Rest in peace, Starman.
Seu poder vem do sol. Minha medida, meu bem, vamos viver a vida. Então vem, senão eu vou perder quem sou. Vou querer me mudar para uma life on Mars. Thank you. vezes o coração não consegue compreender o que a mente não faz questão, nem tem forças pra obedecer. Quantos sonhos já destruí e deixei escapar das mãos. Seu futuro assim permitir, não pretendo viver em vão. Meu amor, não estamos sós, tem um mundo a esperar por nós. Infinito do céu.
Thanks for listening to the Noise Pop Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Spinelli. The Noise Pop Podcast is produced by Ashley Ann Kriegbaum, and our executive producer is Dawson Ludwig. We'd like to thank our guests, Rob Garza and Keith Brower Brown. The song at the start of the show is Endless Rhythm by Bayo. If you want more of the show, make sure to subscribe, and we love reading your comments on iTunes. You can also find more from us at noisepop.com/podcast. Cheers.
Vou querer me mudar para uma life amada.